Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One A Day, where we discuss some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is April 9th, reading Acts chapter 9. Let's get to it. We recently saw the introduction of a young and zealous Pharisee named Saul, who was an enemy of Christ. Now, as far as I can tell, Saul had been there in Jerusalem for most of the time of the ministry of Jesus. He heard about the miracles, and he certainly knew about the teachings of Rabbi Jesus in the temple area, no doubt about the cleansing of the temple. Likely, he was even there for the trial at the home of the high priest and mocking Jesus while he hung on the cross. And now we find him in the midst of him actively chasing down Christians to have them punished. It's easy to see how Saul would look back on his life and call himself the chief of sinners, now that I think of it. In the north wall of the city of Jerusalem today, there is an ancient gate called the Damascus Gate. It was through that same gate that Saul passed on his way to persecute Christ in Damascus, a city about 136 miles north. And while he traveled that road, nearing the city of Damascus, Jesus appeared to him in a blinding light. He called him Saul by name, told him that he was Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Saul, the Pharisee, had his whole world turned upside down in a moment. Jesus told him where to go, and Saul fasted and prayed for the next 3 days, trying to figure out what to do with this dramatic turn of worldview. Perhaps Jesus revealed to Saul how much he would suffer persecution himself for his name's sake, and maybe the Lord was simply silent, allowing Saul to work through all this drama. Either way, apparently Saul needed some soak-in time, and Jesus kept the young man blind for those 3 long days. The third day now, Jesus appeared to Ananias, a believer there in Damascus. Ananias hears his name called out, just as Saul had, and he gives the perfect response, "Here I am." Jesus told him to go and pray for Saul to receive his sight. He even told him Saul's name and even the address where he was staying, what he had seen, and what Ananias was to do. Ananias has one important clarifying question. "Isn't this the man who is persecuting your followers everywhere he goes?" Ananias had no doubt heard that Saul was on his way to the city and that he and the church were preparing themselves for the onslaught that Saul had threatened. But Jesus assures Ananias that Saul has changed his heart and that he needs someone to lay hands on him, heal him, pray for him, send him on his way. So Ananias seeks no further clarification, hesitates no more, but simply goes in obedience to the call. Sometimes it works that way. We risk it all on the Lord. Ananias arrives and declares the gospel to Saul and then asks him why he hesitates to be baptized, washing away his sins. And upon hearing this, Saul is baptized and begins a new walk with the Holy Spirit as his guide. Saul stays in Damascus, now persuading people for the other side. In fact, I love that it says he was proving that Jesus was the Christ. He had seen all that evidence as an unbeliever, and now he looks at the same evidence and persuades others. This guy Saul, who had been such an enemy of Jesus, nonetheless could not dismiss what he remembers of the teachings he had heard, the evidence of the risen Christ. And now Saul becomes the persecuted rather than the persecutor. He becomes a follower of Jesus, and he needs help just to escape by the local brothers. Then he moves to Jerusalem and speaks boldly to the leaders there. The brothers there in Jerusalem were afraid of him. Understandably so. I mean, this is where he had been putting members to death. But Joseph, called Barabbas, which means son of encouragement, introduced Saul around. And soon they all trusted Saul as a full brother. They even protected him, sent him back home to Tarsus to save him. Considering what enemies the Pharisees were to the church, it is miraculous that someone like Barnabas came along. And yet, when Jesus called, they all left everything for an even better future. So let's try some application. Who is a modern-day Pharisee, in your opinion? And what are you doing with those Pharisees in the modern church? How can we follow the example of Saul and Barnabas if we were to move boldly as they did? Who in your circle would you say are like Ananias and Barnabas today? May we all love well, risk well, and preach well. Amen.